Today's reading is from Proverbs chapter 3, verses 1 to 10, reading from the Passion Translation.
My child, if you truly want a long and satisfying life, never forget the things I've taught you. Follow closely every truth that I've given you. Then you will have a full, rewarding life. Hold on to loyal love and don't let go, and be faithful to all that you've been taught. Let your life be shaped by integrity with the truth written upon your heart. That's how you will find favour and understanding with both God and men. You will gain a reputation of living life well.
Trust in the Lord completely and do not rely on your own opinions. With all your heart, rely on him to guide you, and he will lead you in every decision you make. Become intimate with him in whatever you do, and he will lead you wherever you go. Do not think for a moment that you know it all, for wisdom comes when you adore him and with undivided devotion, and avoid everything that's wrong. Then you will find the healing refreshment your body and spirit longs for. Glorify God with all your wealth, honoring him with your best, with every increase that comes to you. Then every dimension of your life will overflow with blessings from an uncontainable source of inner joy.
Brilliant, thank you. I'm now going to hand over to Mara to lead us in God's word.
Well, hello. It's really good to be with you, even in this way, in this new year. I'm trying to be very positive about the new year. And it's a time we're looking at God's word, and particularly Jesus' sermon on the Mount, where he gives the standards of the kingdom, the way of living that will bring us the best possible life. And so my remit today is keep the commandments. And we're looking at that teaching, and it's not designed so that at the end of it, you'll think, oh, I feel all pleasant inside. That was a nice sermon or something like that. It's designed to challenge. Jesus was looking to challenge, and he was looking for change in the people. They were used to the religious leaders and teachers of the law, and Jesus came with a teaching that was completely different. So I'm not expecting you to feel, oh, that was good and it was so encouraging. I'm expecting that it will challenge you and me, and lead us to a change in our lives. And when God was leading his people out of Egypt, he was pretty much doing exactly the same thing when he came to Moses with a set of rules and commandments of the way to obey him, the way to get the best possible life and achieve, if you like, everything that God wanted them to achieve in this new promised land. And we know many times they disobeyed God. They disobeyed his rules and the things that he'd laid down for their benefit. And it came to a point where Moses challenges their relationship, because they had broken, if you like, that covenant relationship with God, and not obeying the commandments has consequences. And Moses reviews the covenant, if you like, and he offers them a choice. He wants them to look back and remember what God had done in bringing them out of Egypt and away from slavery and bringing them into what he was promising them in the promised land. And Deuteronomy 29 verse 9 says this: therefore obey the terms of this covenant so that you will prosper in everything you do. And then in Deuteronomy 30, he brings them to this choice of life or death. And he says, now listen, today I'm giving you a choice between life and death. between prosperity and disaster. For I command you this day to love the Lord your God and to keep his commands, decrees, and regulations by walking in his ways. If you do this, you will live and multiply, and the Lord your God will bless you and the land that you are about to enter and occupy. But if your heart turns away and you refuse to listen, and if you're drawn away to serve and worship other gods, then I warn you now that you will certainly be destroyed. You will not live a long, good life in the land you are crossing the Jordan to occupy. Today, I have given you the choice between life and death, between blessing and curses. Now I call on heaven and earth to witness the choice that you make. Oh, that you would choose life, so that you and your descendants might live. You can make this choice by loving the Lord your God, obeying him, and committing yourself firmly to him. This is the key to your life. And if you love and obey the Lord, you will live long in the land the Lord swore to give your ancestors, Abram, Isaac, and Jacob. You see, the choice that Moses was setting out for the people was very clear. God never forces his will on us. He makes the choice clear. Years ago, I trained to deliver parenting courses, and one of the things that was key in the parenting course was that you gave the child choices. I mean, whereas in my day, I said, if you do that, I'll flatten you or whatever. Here you were giving the child a choice. You were saying, now, if you do that, you will need to go to bed, say, for instance. But if you do this, then you will get the chocolate buttons that are here. Which one would you like? And so you're offering a choice, and that was to get children to take responsibility for the choices that they've made. And when Jesus is teaching the crowds and the disciples around him, he brought the same kind of message. And it says this in Matthew 5 and verse 17. Don't misunderstand why I've come. I didn't come to abolish the law of Moses or the writings of the prophets. No, I came to accomplish their purpose. I tell you the truth, until heaven and earth disappear, not even the smallest detail of God's law will disappear until its purpose is achieved. So if you ignore the least commandment and teach others to do the same, you will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But anyone who obeys God's laws and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. But I warn you, unless your righteousness is better than the righteousness of the teachers of religious law and of the Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. And I've heard too many Christians along the years say that the Old Testament is defunct. It's not relevant anymore. It's not applicable today. And friends, that's rubbish. It's, if you like, a cop-out along the way. And it's often used, interestingly, where tithing is concerned. But if you honour God with your first fruits, you'll never regret it. Jesus was teaching them. He hadn't come to abolish those laws. He had come to fulfil them. And he said not one part of it is going to disappear. So you can't dismiss the Old Testament as a cop-out. We don't need to obey that anymore, and particularly in tithing or anything else come to that, because I just firmly believe that you never regret what you give to the Lord. years ago, we took out our mortgage, and it was in the days of endowment mortgages. And an endowment mortgage meant something in those days. It means absolutely nothing now. In fact, they might even be scrapped because they didn't cover the mortgage they were supposed to. And the idea was you paid just interest on your mortgage, so you were never paying off the capital, but you were paying this endowment, and at the end of the term, then there was enough money in the endowment to pay off the mortgage and even give you a little bit of a lump sum. And in fairness, ours did fulfil that criteria. And Eddie and I have always believed, certainly in tithing, I've always believed this is opposed to offerings. I'm talking about just the tithing side. There are offerings as well, but just the tithing side of things. We've always given the Lord a tenth of our gross. And when we looked at this lump sum that we had, well, we said, well, it was intended to cover the mortgage. So we put the mortgage away, it's finished, that's paid off. And then what we had gained, if you like, we gave the Lord a tenth. And that was fine. We did it in good faith. We felt that was the right thing to do. And it was quite funny. Last year, I was looking at the ways, I think it was, you know, the difficult circumstances and all of this kind of thing that I was going through at the time. And I began to look at the blessings of God over the years. And I looked at all kinds of different areas, you know, spiritually, physically, materially. And I was reminded about, you know, this mortgage that paid us out a lump sum. And I was thanking the Lord for that. And I just felt him say to me, yes, that was when you gave me 10% of the net and not the gross. And I was just pulled up. And I thought, we had thought at the time it was right. And so, believe me, I put that right straight away as God reminded me of it. You see, he hadn't been angry with us because what we did was in good faith. But his commandment was a tenth of all we get. And I just had thought it was the right thing. We both did at the time. And so God, 25 years later, reminds me, you know, it matters that we obey his commands. It matters to him. And I was able to sort that out. And Jesus was saying to his followers, I'm not abolishing the law. I'm enlarging it. I'm bringing out, if you like, its true meaning. The Pharisees, excuse me, were the ones who emphasized the letter of the law. But Jesus was showing the spirit behind it. And in Matthew 5, 21, you've got these words. You have heard that our ancestors were told, you must not murder. But if you commit murder, you are subject to judgment. But I say, if you are even angry with someone, you are subject to judgment. If you call someone an idiot, you are in danger of being brought before the court. And if you curse someone, you are in danger of the fires of hell. So if you're presenting a sacrifice at the altar in the temple, and you suddenly remember that someone has something against you, leave your sacrifice there at the altar. Go and be reconciled to that person. Then come and offer your sacrifice to God. You know, we can so easily lose sight of what Jesus is saying. The Old Testament commandment was not to murder. And I guess we'll all look at our lives and say, well, you know, I've easily fulfilled that. I've never murdered. But Jesus was saying, but it's more than that. It's more than that. You know, you need to look at your relationships and see, are you angry with one another? Are you at odds with one another? And there are so many Christians who are at odds and have bad relationships in their lives and think it's okay. They think it's okay and they go on attempting to give to God their offering. But the Bible says not acceptable. It's not acceptable until we get things sorted. Leave your sacrifice there at the altar. Go and be reconciled. And it's a command. Go and be reconciled to that person. And then he talks about adultery and divorce in a similar way. And he says, you have heard the commandment says you must not commit adultery. But I say anyone who even looks at a woman with lust has already committed adultery with her in his heart. And just as Moses was setting out before the children of Israel, the choice of life or death, and he was urging them to choose life, so God is presenting us with exactly the same choices today. And I want to ask you, is your choice to obey and to glory in the consequences of that obedience? You see, obedience gives us assurance that we are his. So many people don't have that assurance that they are the Lord's, but obedience, obeying God's commands, gives us that assurance. And it says that in 1 John and chapter 2. And we can be sure that we know him if we obey his commandments. If someone claims, I know God, but doesn't obey God's commandments, that person is a liar and is not living in the truth. In other words, you're kidding yourself. But those who obey God's word truly show how completely they love him. That is how we know we are living in him. Those who say they live in God should live their lives as Jesus did. If I'm professing to be a Christian, I need to live my life as Jesus did. It's your choice to obey. And then what difference does it make? What difference does it make if we don't obey or if we straddle the line? We try to say, well, this doesn't really matter. That does, you know, and we make choices, pick a mix, if you like. What difference does it make to our walk with the Lord? Well, number one, disobedience adversely affects your prayer life. It says in 1 John 3, dear friends, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have confidence before God and receive from him anything we ask because we could keep his commands and do what pleases him. And this is his command, to believe in the name of his son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another as he commanded us. The one who keeps God's commands lives in fellowship with him and he in them. And this is how we know he lives in us. We know it by the Spirit he gave us. You know, if we our conscience doesn't condemn us, we can come with boldness into God's presence. If we're walking, having obeyed his commandments, then we're walking in line with his will. Then the prayers we pray will be in line with his will, and we will receive what we ask. But we can't expect God to listen to our prayers if we're living in disobedience. We need to sort it, and then we can come with confidence. Then our prayers will be answered because we do what pleases him. The second thing is that disobedience adversely affects your ability to overcome. You know, the children of Israel under Joshua were beginning to move into the promised land. All of those in the wilderness who had disobeyed had died out. And now this new generation, along with Caleb and Joshua, were ready to go and to experience all that God had for them, the victories that he had for them. And so their first battle is the Battle of Jericho, and it goes exceedingly well, and everything is destroyed. And God had said, but the spoils of the land are for me. This first fruits again, if you like, in your life. God said, this first battle, there's going to be loads, and there's going to be loads of spoils, but the first battle, I want the spoils. They're for me, so bring them to me, and the rest you can divide between you as you go along. And so exactly what happens, the Israelites burn the town and everything in it, that's Jericho, and only the things made from silver, gold, bronze and iron were kept for the treasury of the Lord's house. So the Lord was with Joshua, and his reputation spread throughout the land. So they were so enthusiastic for the next battle. The next battle was Ai. And they needed to move in on that place. But Joshua sent spies, as they normally would, to see just what they were facing. And they came back, the spies, and said, oh, it's only a little town. We certainly won't need everybody. 3,000 men should cover it, and we'll be fine. And so they decided, obviously, not to send everyone. And then it says this in Joshua 7. So approximately 3,000 warriors were sent, but they were soundly defeated. The men of Ai chased the Israelites from the town gate as far as the quarries, and they killed about 36 of them who were retreating down the slope. The Israelites were paralyzed with fear at this turn of events, and their courage melted away. Joshua and the leaders were distraught. They couldn't understand it. Here was a God who promised them victory. Be not afraid, I have overcome. Move in and take the land. And here they had been so resoundingly defeated. And so Joshua and the leaders tear their robes, put on sackcloth and ashes, and lie before the Lord on the ground. And the Lord says to them, what are you doing? Get up and sort it. There is sin in the camp. And they discover that Achan, one man, has kept some of the treasures that were intended for the Lord. He probably thought, in the grand scheme of things, that it wasn't even going to be noticed. But you know, he had stolen what was the Lord's, man named Achan. And he thought it wouldn't matter. Disobedience adversely affects your ability to overcome, and it leads to fear. The Israelites, it says, were paralyzed with fear at this turn of events, and their courage melted away. And so this one man had such an effect on the people, and they needed to deal with that. Disobedience, number three, adversely affects your ability to produce fruit. We are called to produce fruit. And it says in John 15, you didn't choose me, I chose you. I appointed you to go and produce lasting fruit, so that the Father will give you whatever you ask for in my name. This is my command, love each other. Ability to produce fruit. Jesus tells the story of the sower who went out to sow seed, and some fell on different kinds of ground, but it was only the soil that was good soil that produced the fruit. Some 100, some 60, some 30 fold on what had been sown. And it was that good soil. You know, the other soils, Jesus explained, were all kinds of cares and worries and things that come into your life that mean you don't receive what God is saying. But in Matthew 13:23, it says, but the seed falling on good soil refers to someone who hears the word and understands it. This is the one who produces a crop, yielding 160 or 30 times what was sown. Someone who hears the word and understands it. And I think that is the thing we need to understand here. To hear and to understand means you're taking it on board. It means you've heard what God is saying and you're taking it on board. You're applying it in your life. Disobedience, number four, adversely affects your ability to move in the power of the Spirit. I'll always remember Bryn Jones, who said, "The power in the name of Jesus on your lips is in keeping it with the measure to which his nature is expressed in our lives." In other words, you can't just go around saying, "In Jesus' name, I do this. In Jesus' name, I do that." If you are not expressing his nature in your life, if you're not obeying his commands, your ability to move in the power of the Spirit will be greatly affected. Sceva was a Jewish high priest. He was a religious leader. He had seven sons, and they were Jewish and they were religious, but they weren't of the Spirit of God. And when they tried to cast out evil spirits, it well backfired on them. They couldn't do it, and the spirits attacked them. And you can read the story in Acts 19. Jesus warned about the Jewish religious leaders at the beginning. You know, he says, "Unless your life, your righteousness is better than that of the Jewish religious leaders and the Pharisees, you don't really have a part in the kingdom of God." So what he was saying is, it will affect your ability to move in the power of the Spirit if you don't walk in the ways of God. Has God challenged you in any area today? When you look at the commands, you may say, "Well, I haven't murdered." But have you been angry with someone and your relationship is actually still out of sorts? Before you offer your sacrifice of worship, sort it. Sort it. Or your offering isn't acceptable. It isn't acceptable. What about theft? Achan probably thought what he took was so small in the grand scheme of things, but he was robbing the Lord of first fruits. Is that a challenge to you today? Is the soil of your life good soil? Receptive of the seed that comes from the Lord? A place where much fruit can be produced. Moses urged the people to choose life. Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount was laying down the values of the kingdom. If we are going to be part of that kingdom, this is how we should live. Choose to keep his commands in every way, in every area of your life. Then you will be a powerfully effective overcomer who obtains all that God has laid up for you. You know, I said in the beginning that this word was not designed to make us feel good. It was designed to challenge. That was what Jesus was doing with his teaching. He was looking for change, and he has every right to. He gave up everything for us. He left the glory of heaven. He became a man, although also God. He suffered the same kind of heartaches and temptations that we do, the same kind of betrayal and disappointments. He knew that physical punishment on a grand scale was what he would have to endure, and ultimately death on a cross, an incredibly painful and humiliating experience, and an awful way to die. then separation from the Father. Why? The Bible says it was for the joy that was set before him. For the fact that he knew that he was making a way for you and I to experience life in all its fullness and relationship with the Father. How sad if we fly in the face of that and don't obey his commands and never experience that life in all its fullness because we mix it along the way. Is it too much to ask of me that I obey his commands when the cost was so high? No. No, it isn't. Not only because I love him and I would want to please him because I love him, but because of the overflow of blessing that comes from him when I do. I just want to leave God the last word and read to you again the verses that we heard before from Proverbs 3. And it's again like Moses was laying before the children of Israel, life or death. So this word is the same. My child, if you truly want a long and satisfying life, never forget the things that I've taught you. Follow closely every truth I've given you. Then you will have a full, rewarding life. Hold on to loyal love and don't let go. And be faithful to all that you have been taught. Let your life be shaped by integrity, with truth written upon your heart. That's how you will find favour and understanding with both God and men. You will gain the reputation of living life well. Trust in the Lord completely and don't rely on your own opinions. With all your heart, rely on him to guide you, and he will lead you in every decision you make. Don't think for a moment that you know it all, for wisdom comes when you adore him with undivided devotion and avoid everything that's wrong. Then you will find the healing refreshment that your body and spirit long for. Glorify God with all your wealth, honouring him with your very best, with every increase that comes to you. Then every dimension of your life will overflow with blessings from an uncontainable source of inner joy. What pleasure, what joy is ours when we keep his commands. Amen.